tonight's shear is on this week's Parsha, which is Parshas Re'eh. And the title of the shear tonight is Justice for the Influencer. So tonight we're going to look at the aspect of the Parsha that deals with the Mesis, which is a person who convinces his fellow Jew to do Avodah Zarah. And we're going to look at how the Torah treats this Mesis. And it's interesting, the Mesis is treated differently than everybody else. So let's start with source number one. It's Devarim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Zayin. And it says, Ki yisischa achicha venimecha, ovincha, ovitcha, oeshes chekecha, o reacha asher kenafshecha baseser leimor, neelecha v'na'avda Elohim achirim asher lo yadata atav abusecha. So if your brother, the son of your mother, or your son or your daughter, or your wife, or your friend, if they entice you in private saying, let's go do Avodah Zarah, that which, you know, you're unaware of their gods, meaning let's do Avodah Zarah and worship this god that you or your forefathers are unaware of. Look in Ches, Melohei ha'amim asher sivoseichem ha'krovim elecha o harechokim imecha, mikzer aretz v'ad kitzei aretz, from amongst the nations that live at the ends of the world, even if they're closer or afar. So they're going to, this person is convincing you to worship Avodah Zarah, which belongs to other nations, and Avodah Zarah of some other people. Lo sovel lo, velo sishma ilav, velo sachos incha alav, velo sachmo, velo sachase alav. So the Torah says, do not assent, do not agree with him, don't listen to him, don't have compassion for this Mesis. Lo sachmo, velo sachase alav, do not shield him. Ki harog targenu, yadecha tiyabo varishana, lahamiso v'yad kol ambacharona. But rather, you should kill him, and you should be the first one to kill him, and then everybody in the nation should kill him as well. Uskaltov avanim vames ki vikesh hadichacha me'al adoshem elokecha hamotziacha me'arath mitraim mibeis avadim. And you should stone him. Why? Because he tried to convince you to stray from the God Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yira'un v'lo yosifu la'asos kadavar hara hazeh b'kerbecha. And all the Jews will see what happens to this Mesis, this influencer, this enticer, and it'll prevent in the future this from happening again. So the Torah describes how there's a halachic idea, there's a Torah concept of a Mesis, of a person who tries to convince his fellow Jew to do a Avodah Zarah, and the Torah treats this Mesis very harshly. So I want to, in the shir, I want to look at source number one, look at Pasuk Tes again. The Torah gives us several prohibitions, Yisurim, with regard to how we relate to the Mesis. And it starts with Lo Sovel Lo. If you look in source number one, Pasuk Tes, Lo Sovel Lo, Velo Sishma Elov, Velo Sachus Einecha Elov, Velo Sachmo, Velo Sachase Elov. So there are all these Yisurim, there are all these prohibitions as to how Jewish people are supposed to relate to this Mesis, to this individual. And I want to try to understand what each prohibition is on its own. So we'll see, look at Rashi in source number two. So Rashi explains the various prohibitions, the various Yisurim, with regard to the Mesis. In source number two, it's on Pasuk Tes, it says, Lo sovelo, lo sehe ta'evlo, you should not long for the Mesis. So a Jew should not long, you should not desire to be with the Mesis. It says, Lo se ahavenu. And he explains that you shouldn't love the Mesis. Lefisha ne'amar v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, ezeh lo te'ahav. So the Torah teaches us a basic principle that you should love your friend as you would yourself. And over here, the Torah is teaching us that by the Mesis, you should not love the Mesis, lo te'ahav. So the first iser, according to Rashi, is that it's usur, it's prohibited for a person to demonstrate v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha vis-a-vis this Mesis. Then he goes on, he says, Velo sishma I love, bischanano al nafsho limcholo, lefishnemar azov tazov imo, lizet lo tazov. So when the Mesis is begging for his life and he asks for forgiveness, don't help him. As it says, even though it says in general that if you come across your friend who you hate and he has a package on his donkey and the donkey is struggling, you should help him. For this person, this Mesis, you should not help. So the first, again, the Rashi is saying, for the first Isser, with regard to this enticer, this influencer, this Mesis, the first iser is to love him, to fulfill the commandment of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha vis-a-vis this Mesis, so you're not allowed to do that. And the second one is you're not allowed to help him And he says, you can't forgive him if he requests forgiveness. Next Rashi. In general, you're not allowed to let your friend die. If you see your friend dying and you can save him, you're not. It's an isser. It's a prohibition to allow him to die. But by the mesis, if you see the mesis dying, you're not allowed to step up. You have to let him die. You shouldn't try to merit him, to give him merit, and to look for merit. If you know that this mesis is guilty, you're not allowed to be quiet. So these are all yisurim with regard to the mesis. You're not allowed to love him. The haftal reicha kamocha doesn't apply to the mesis. You're not allowed to help him. Azov ta azovimo, which means forgiving him and having pity for him. You're not allowed to do that. Lo sachos eincha olav. Rashi says is that you have to let him die. You can't step in. And lo sachmo lo safoch bischuso. You shouldn't reverse his merit. The lo sechasel olav. Lo safoch bischuso, I think, means you shouldn't provide merit zuchus for him. The lo sechasel olav. If you know that he's guilty, you can't be quiet and you can't shut up. You have to tell Beis Din that you know of this mesis and he's guilty. And lastly, im yatza, look in yud, ki arog targeno, im yatza mi based in zakai, hechziru lechova, yatza mi based in chayev, al tachzireu leschus. So there's a general principle that when a person's on trial for a capital punishment, and they're on trial and the death penalty is at stake, din nefashos, when based in is finished convening, if somebody has an argument to let the guy off, so we're allowed to reconvene Beis Din and try to reestablish the case and get him off. But in this, and also if you have an argument to make him chayev, let's say he's innocent, and the judge leaves the trial and says, oh, I know, now I have an idea as to why he should be guilty, we don't allow the person to come back and we don't reestablish because we're merciful. But with regard to the mesis, it's the opposite. That if you have an argument to be mechayev him, if you have an argument that he should be guilty, even after the trial is over, you go back and you try to find him guilty. And if you have an argument to let him off, we don't listen. We don't go back and try to learn zuchus, merit for him. So what's interesting about these yisurim is that they all seem to tie into how the Jewish people are supposed to relate to the mesis. And they teach us that the mesis is treated differently than every other case of a Rasha. It's extreme. The Torah teaches us that we're not allowed to love him, we're not allowed to help him or forgive him, we have to let him die. So all these ideas are very extreme. Even in Dina Nefashos, in general, when it comes to a person who's supposed to, or who's on trial for murder, for death, the death penalty is at stake, we're supposed to be merciful. And we, even if, let's say he's guilty, we know he's guilty and he's sentenced to death, but somebody has an argument to let him be innocent or to change the din, we say, go back and let's restart the talks. But the opposite is true also. If you know that he's guilty, but he came out innocent, we let him go because we're merciful. But by the mesis, the justice is very strict and we don't do these things. So the question that we're going to ask or try to understand is, A, what's the characteristic of these prohibitions? And the last point, which we'll get to towards the end of this year, which is why is the mesis treated differently in the framework of justice, in the justice system, from any other case where a death penalty is at stake? So those are the questions. So if you look in the Ramban, in source number 3, we'll see that the Ramban argues with Rashi, and at the beginning of this year, I want to try to understand the difference between Rashi and the Ramban, which is very important in terms of understanding the philosophy of what the Torah is trying to teach us vis-a-vis the mesis. So if you look in source number 3, it says, lo sovelo, lo sehe toivlo. You shouldn't desire to be with the mesis, to follow the mesis. Velo te'ehavenu. And you shouldn't love him. L'fishenemar v'haftu l'reich l'kamocha. It's a mitzvah to love your fellow Jew. Ezeh lo te'ehav. But this person, this mesis, even though he's your fellow Jew, you're not allowed to love him. Lashon Rashi, misifri. So Rashi's quoting the Sifri. Aval b'gemara amru ha'ava v'shama chayav. The Gemara learns out the word lo sovelo, which means it means something different, because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if you long for the mesis and you listen to him, you're chayav. V'chena davar, and also he brings proofs that the word ava doesn't mean ahav, to love, but it means to desire, to will. And he says, v'chena davar, ki ava lashon ratzon. Alva, the word lo sovelo means raton, to will, to be with him. You want to be with him. Velo alva Hashem elokech lishmoel Bilam. And he brings proofs from the psukim. Hashem did not want to listen to Bilam. Lo ratza. Lo ava yavami. Another pasuk. Mimasha amar v'im lo yachbots. From what it says, that if you don't desire, you don't want. V'hine lo sovelo belev. So the Ramban learns out that the iser of lo sovelo doesn't mean that you're not allowed to love the mesis, but he learns that it means that you're not allowed to desire in your heart to be with the mesis, to follow the mesis. V'lo sishma ilav shetode lo lomar kein asa ilech ve'evod avodazara she'amris. And you shouldn't listen and agree with him and say, I'm going to go follow you to do avodazara. V'hu chayev misa behoda aso. He's chayev misa just by agreeing with the mesis to go do avodazara. V'chein das unkelus lo tekabel mine. And unkelus, if you look in source number 4, unkelus learns out lo sishma ilav as the same idea. So it says lo seve le v'lo sekabel mine v'lo sachos einach alohi v'lo srachem v'lo sechase alohi. So the unkelus learns out like the Ramban, or the Ramban learns like the unkelus, that really ava means to desire, and shama means to verbalize and be moda to what the mesis is telling you. So he learns out, the Ramban learns out, that the Isser, unlike Rashi, who holds that the Isser is to love and to help the Mesis, and there's a prohibition, according to Rashi, to help and to love him, but the Ramban learns out that the prohibition of lo sovelo means to internally want to follow the Mesis' directions, so you're not allowed to do that, and lishmolo means that you're moda to him, you agree that you're going to go do a vodazara with him, and that's how he learns it. The elu alavin kemo velosis ave velosachmod, and he compares it to another situation, the situation of jealousy, the iser of jealousy in the Aseres HaDibros. Shim his ave believe over belav harishon. When you're jealous of somebody else, according to the Ramban, and you want what they have, just the jealousy alone makes you over. It violates the lav, the first iser. And then he says v'im hosif lasos kasher chashav over gam belav hasheni. And if you continue and you move forward with what you desired, and you try to coerce the person, so then you're over the second lav. So then the Ramban, just again, he says that there's two stages to this iser. One is internally, believe, and the other one, he says, is hoda. Once you agree with the mesis that you want to go do a vodazara with him, so then you're over the second iser. But then he agrees with Rashi on the last point. He says, so you shouldn't be merciful to him if he's dying to not kill him. So you shouldn't have pity for, let's say, a relative who's, let's say he's a relative and he's a mesis. You should not have pity for him. And if you have this knowledge and you know that your friend or your relative is a mesis, is an enticer and an influencer, you have to go to Beis Din. Uvisifri lo sachmol lo salamed alav zuchus. In the Sifri it says you shouldn't learn a zuchus. V'lo sechase imata yodeh lo chova incha rishai lishtok. If you know that he's guilty, you can't be quiet. Basically, the end, he's like Rashi. V'akol tam echad ki akisui min mechaseb sha'av. Kisui means to hide. To it's like a secret to hide, to cover. The chose kolon hashtika mehagid. It means that you're quiet and you're hiding your information. That's usher. The amar lo yosifu lasos kadavar razeh ki hu davar matzu yase tami lelei amishpat aval inin anavi aniskar inin abitadiros. And the Ramban concludes with the idea that the Torah is concerned that of the mesis because it could catch on. It's something that could happen very commonly and often. So therefore, the Torah is very strict when it comes to the mesis. So I just wanted to summarize the Ramban. The Ramban is arguing with Rashi. Rashi maintains that lo sovelo, there's an iser to love the mesis, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and there's an iser to forgive him, and he quotes the pasuk of azov tazovimo, that when you come across a donkey that is of your enemy, and the donkey is struggling and the enemy is struggling, you should help him. So he says that by the mesis you shouldn't help, and you shouldn't forgive him. The Ramban learns out differently. He learns out that lo sovelo means internally, that emotionally you shouldn't want to follow the mesis direction. And lo sishma ilav means that you shouldn't be moda. You shouldn't agree to follow the mesis and say, oh yeah, let's do a vodazara together. So the question I want to take up is, what exactly is the machlokes? What's the argument between Rashi and the Ramban? I don't think they're really arguing because Rashi's quoting the Sifri and the Ramban's quoting the Gemara, but what's the difference between the two approaches, the approach of the Sifri slash Rashi and the Ramban, who quotes the Gemara, in terms of how to learn how we're supposed to relate to the Mesis and what the Surim, the prohibitions are, in terms of a Jew relating to this influencer, this enticer, this person who's trying to get me to do a Avodah Zarah with him. So let's try to understand the difference between the two approaches. And I think it's a very fundamental difference. If we look in... So to try to understand it, we have to look at the idea of V'haftal Reicha Kamocha. So if we look in source number 5, it's Vayikra Perek Yotas Pasuk Yechas. The Torah teaches us that there's a mitzvah of loving our fellow Jew as we would love ourselves, Kamocha. So it says, Losikom Belositoris B'nei Amecha V'haftal Reicha Kamocha Ani Ad Hashem. The Torah teaches us that you're not allowed to take revenge. And also you should love your fellow, your friend, Kamocha, as yourself, Ani Hashem. So the Rashbam explains over there in source number 6, what does this mean? So, lo sikom ligmo lo ra tachas ra. So that means taking revenge. Oh, you did me bad, I'm going to do you bad. I'm going to do something bad to you. The lo sitor afilu bil vavecha ela avor amidoscha. Even internally, if you want to take revenge, you should try to conquer that emotion, that, you know, that desire to take revenge. The haftal reicha kamocha at the end, im reicha im tovhu, if he's your friend and he's good, aval imhu rasha, but if he's a rasha, kedichsiv, yiras Hashem sonos ra. So the Rashbam, he makes the distinction. He says that if he's good, if he's tov, and he's your friend, then you should love him, and you should demonstrate v'haftal reicha kamocha. But if he's a rasha, the pasuk says that you should hate a person who fears Hashem, he hates evil. So you should hate him. So the v'haftal reicha kamocha, according to the Rashbam, is only limited to somebody who's tov. But somebody who's ra, who's evil, It's not applicable to. But the Rashi in our pasuk seems to highlight this iser when it comes to the mesis, that we're not allowed to love v'haftal reicha kamocha. We're not allowed to love the mesis. So what is the idea of the iser of not loving and not listening or at least forgiving the mesis? So if you look in the Sephorno in source number 7, he gives us a little insight into, you know, the mitzvah of v'haftal reicha kamocha. He says, "V'haftal reicha kamocha, ehov be'ad reicha, ma shehayisa ohev be'adcha, im hayisa magia l'mkoma." So the Sforno explains that, how do we interpret this mitzvah of v'haftal reicha kamocha? It's basically a mitzvah that when you come across your friend, you should want that something to happen to him as if you were in his place. Meaning you should treat yourself as if you're in the place of your friend. And that which you want and which you desire, the hafta, that which you love, you should bestow upon him as if you were him. So the Sforno explains that the basis of the mitzvah of v'haftal reicha kamocha is, I think, identification, which means that you see yourself in your friend. That you shouldn't say, oh, I'm me and that's my friend. But the mitzvah in the Torah is v'haftal reicha kamocha, that whatever you love, you should be able to see yourself in your friend's position. It says, ohe ba'adcha imayisa magilim komo. If you were in his position, what would you love? What would you enjoy? So you have to put yourself in your friend's position. And that's a process of identification. So the whole basis of v'haftal reicha kamocha is that a person, a Jew, is supposed to put himself in his friend's position and then judge the situation as if he were in his friend's position. So that's the idea of v'haftal reicha kamocha. And there's another pasuk that Rashi quotes, which we'll put all together. But there's another pasuk which he quotes, which is lo sishmoy love, that you're not supposed to forgive him. But then he quotes this pasuk of azov ta'azov imo. So what is that pasuk? Look in source number 8. It says kisirecha mor sona acha rovetz tachas masa'o v'chadalta me'azov lo azov ta'azov imo. So let's say you see that your friend, your enemy, it's not your friend actually, it's your enemy, and his donkey is having trouble under this heavy burden. So, and you don't want to help the guy. You should nevertheless help. Azov ta'azov means to help. So the halacha is, the mitzvah is, that even if your enemy is traveling and you come across your enemy, what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to help your enemy. You're supposed to help him. And Rashi says, azov ta'azov imo. Look in Rashi. He says, aziva zu lashon azara. Rashi explains that aziva means to help, which means that it's a mitzvah on every Jew to try to help his enemy. You try to help your enemy. V'chein atzor v'azov. He quotes Psukim to teach you that the word aziva means to help. V'yazvu Yerushalayim arachoma. They helped Yerushalayim until the wall. Milua afar lazov l'tsayeh eschozek achoma. They filled up the wall with dirt to support it and to help it, its structure. Hiotzebo kisomar bilvavacha rabim agoyim ha'ela mimeni. Shema tomar kein. If you say that there's nations that are, there's a lot of nations in the world to fight, in terms of going into Eretz Yisrael, bitmia lo siro mehem, rather you should not be afraid of them. And then he says, umidrasho kach darshu rabosenu, ki sireh v'chaldalta pamim sha'ata chadal upamim sha'ata ozer. The Medrash also explains that there are times when you're supposed to help and there are times when you're not supposed to help. Ha'ketzad zaken ve'eno lefik vodo. Let's say you're an old man and you're traveling and you see your enemy's donkey is overburdened. If it's inappropriate for, let's say, a 90-year-old, you're the old man, to help out, you shouldn't do it. It's against your kvodo, v'chadalta, and in that situation, you shouldn't help. O behemas nachri umaso Yisrael v'chadalta. Or if the behema is that of a non-Jews, but the masoi, the burden, is really the Jews, you shouldn't help. Azov tazovimo lefare kamasa milamishkale militol masoi mimenu. But you should help in a general situation where you encounter an enemy who needs help, you should help them. So the Torah teaches us that there's a general idea of helping even your enemy. But Rashi says, by the Mesis, and he quotes this Pasuk, he says that you're not allowed to give the Mesis forgiveness, and if he's begging for his life, you're not allowed to give in. And he quotes this Pasuk. So it's interesting that he's quoting this Pasuk, because it's not really the same thing as having pity on a person who's begging for their life. But what exactly is, according to Rashi, what exactly is the prohibition by the Mesis? So if you look in the Rambam, also, one last point, the Rambam actually supports Rashi, and he argues with the Ramban. Look in source number 10. It's Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Hei Halacha Dalet. It says, Mitzvah Biyad Hamusas Lohorgo, Shenemar Yadacha Tiyeh Bo Barishonah Lahamiso. It's a mitzvah on the person who is trying to be enticed, meaning, let's say somebody was trying to entice me, it's a mitzvah for me to kill the mesis, the enticer, the influencer. First, the aser lemusas lehov es amesis. It's against the Torah for the person who's being enticed to love the mesis. Shenamar lo sovelo, just like Rashi, the Rambam agrees that there's an iser of v'havta l'recha kamocha. L'fi shenamar besone azov tazovimo, and then he quotes the same pasuk as Rashi. It says, by your enemy, that you're supposed to help him nevertheless by the donkey case. Yachal ata ozev lezeh. You might think that you should help the mesis. Tamalomar velo sishma ilov. You shouldn't listen to him. Ulefish namar velo samor al damriacha. Yachal iata omed al damo shalzeh. Tamalomar velo sachos encha. You might think that you shouldn't allow the mesis to just die if you see him dying. No, you shouldn't help him. The usher lemusas, it's usher for the person being enticed. The lami to love schus, shenemar v'losachmol, to learn out merit for the guy. V'im yada lo chova in rishat lishtok mimena. If he knows that he's guilty, he has to go to Beis Din and tell Beis Din. Shenemar v'losachasel love. V'azhar lehedyot ha-mesis minayin. Shenemar v'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro'o. And the warning for a regular Jew to become a mesis is learned out from the end. V'chol Yisrael yishmu v'yiro'o, at the very end, so that they don't do this evil. So what do we see from the Rambam? The Rambam agrees with Rashi that really the Isser, at least the first two, the Isser is to love the Mesis and to help him. And whereas opposed to the Ramban says, no, you're learning the Pasuk wrong. The Isser is to want to do Avodah Zarah with the Mesis and to listen to him, which means to be modeh to him, to agree with what he says. That's the Isser. So the question is, what are the two different approaches here? What's the machlokes between the Ramban / the Gemara, and Rashi, the Rambam, and the Sifri? They all seem to argue on the other side. So what exactly is a machlokas? So I think there's a very important point that the Torah is teaching us about the mesis. So whenever you come across a mesis, there's usually a charisma. There's usually a charisma associated with the mesis. We see this by many religious figures. Religious figures typically have charisma. They have the ability to connect with their audience. And the Mesis here, he's trying to convince and influence other people to stray from Hashem and to do Avodah Zarah. So maybe the Machlokas is, according to Rashi and the Rambam and the Sifri, they maintain that the that the is or is to identify with the Mesis, meaning that the Mesis's power, the influencer's power, comes from his ability to connect with his audience. And a lot of times, as I said before, religious figures have passion, they have charisma, and they're able to connect with their audience to convince them to do things that really are unethical. And so too, that is the method of the Mesis. The Mesis might be arguing from a rational standpoint why it makes sense to do a Avodah Zarah, but ultimately, according to those opinions, Rashi, Rambam, and the Sifri, the Mesis' strength comes from the identification factor, the ability to connect. And the Torah is teaching us that there's an Isser for us to connect with the Mesis. It's also for us to identify with the Mesis, because that is the power of the Mesis. The power of the Mesis comes essentially from his ability to connect. So the Torah recognizes this, and it's really an incredible idea. The Torah recognizes the psychology of an influencer, of an enticer. The psychology of an enticer is to use the charisma, not the ideas per se, but the charisma and the ability to connect in order to influence his followers. So over here, the Torah is teaching us, according to these opinions, that there's an iser to identify, to love, to feel as if you're in his shoes. Because once you do that, then you're subject to the sway of the Mesis. So the first idea is that, as like Rashi, the Ramban, and the Sifri, which is tied to the concept that a Jew is not allowed to identify. You have to break your identification actively from the Mesis, because that's where the power of the Mesis comes from. It comes from his ability to connect. Whereas the Ramban and the Gemara are focusing more on the arguments of the Mesis, that they're focusing on the Isser being listening to the arguments and being swayed by the arguments, not the personality, not the person of the Mesis, but the arguments of the Mesis. And therefore, the Ramban learns that really the idea, the Isser is to follow, to want to follow the Mesis, to listen, to be moda to the Mesis. So the machlokas between the Ramban and Rashi is basically whether the Torah is acknowledging that the power, the essential power of the Mesis, comes from the personality of the Mesis, and the arguments of the Mesis are really secondary to the personality. So if the personality is really essential, the Torah demands that the regular Jew not identify with that personality. Not v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha means that you see yourself in your friend's shoes. You can't do that. By azov ta'azov imo, same thing. Even your enemy you're supposed to identify with somewhat, you're not allowed to feel sorry. You can't feel like as if you were in a situation where it was your donkey. You have to break your identification with the personality of the Mesis, because his personality is what's selling his argument. Whereas the other side, the Ramban, is saying no, that really the Torah is teaching us that we're allowed to identify with the Mesis, but we have to be careful and understand the argument of the Mesis and try to prevent ourselves from listening to the argument, because really the argument is really more essential in terms of convincing the musas, the person being enticed, to do the Avodah Zarah. So which one is the Torah highlighting? Is it the Torah highlighting the argument of the Mesis and teaching us that we can't be swayed by the argument? Or is the Torah highlighting the personality of the Mesis and teaching us that it's usur for us, it's prohibited for the fellow Jew to identify with the Mesis? Because if we do so, once we identify, we feel like we're in his shoes. Once we feel like that, then we get swayed in by the Mesis' message. So that's really the machlokas between the two, how we treat the Mesis. I just wanted to bring a proof for what I think Rashi's argument is. If you look in source number 1, it says, Ki yisischa achicha venimecha ovincha ovitcha o eshes chaykecha o reacha asher kanafshecha basesu leimor neelcha v'na'avda Elohim achirem asher lo yadata atava vosecha. So if you look in the middle, it says, Reacha asher kanafshecha. What does that mean? It means your close friend, a friend that's as if it's you, as if it's part of your soul, meaning it's your close friend. So all these examples of Mesis are people who are able to utilize this connection, this ability to connect, because they're your relatives, they're your friends, they're your close friends. So Rashi's saying, oh, don't allow the personality to influence you. So he's saying that there's an Isser to identify with that personality, because it's the personality that really is the strong point of the Mesis' argument, as opposed to the Ramban, which is highlighting not listening to the argument of the Mesis. Of course, both are true. Just the question is, what's the Torah highlighting? What's the Torah emphasizing in the story and the situation of the Mesis? So I just wanted to take up the last point in the Torah, which is that we're, in terms of the justice system, we treat the Mesis differently than a regular case. So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Sanhedrin, Parakit Aleph, Halacha Aleph, famous. He highlights the difference between Dine Mominus and Dine Nefashos, which means monetary judgments and capital punishment, capital cases. So Ma bein Dine Mominus le Dine Nefashos. What's the difference? Dine Mominus b'shlosha, Dine Nefashos b'asher m'shlosha. So one difference is the amount of judges. By Mominus, by money, it's 3, and by capital, it's 23. Dine Mominus poskin bein l'schus bein l'chova. Dine Nefashos poskin l'schus k'moshe b'yarnu v'ein poskin l'chova. So one other difference is that by Mominus, by money, when you start deliberating, when the judges deliberate, they can start with either he's guilty or he's innocent. But when it comes to capital crimes, capital punishment, the judges have to deliberate with he's innocent first. They can't start with he's guilty. Dine Mominus machzirin bein l'schus bein l'chova. V'dine Nefashos machzirin l'schus v'ein machzirin l'chova k'moshe b'yarnu. By regular cases of money, if you have an argument after the case is over, and it, either for guilt or for innocence, we restart the talks. But by Nefashos, you're allowed to restart the talks if you know that he's innocent, if you can argue he's innocent. But if you can argue he's guilty, we let the judgment go and we let him off. Dine Mominus hakol ru'uyin l'lamid z'chus l'chova, b'ena dayanem, b'ena talmidim. V'dine Nefashos hakol melamden z'chus v'afilu ha-talmidim, v'ein melamid chova ela ha-dayanem. So by Dine Mominus, everyone, all the types of judges can get involved, even the students. But by Nefashos, the students can only learn out Zechus, but the Dayanim, they're the only ones who can learn out Chova. The students and the Dayanim can learn out Zechus, but the Dayanim can learn out guilt. Dine Mominus hadayin hamalamed Chova chozer malamed Zechus, hamalamed Zechus chozer malamed Chova, dine Nefashos hamalamed Chova chozer malamed Zechus, ava hamalamed Zechus enu yachol lachzor malamed Chova. By Mominus, each judge can deliberate, and if you learn out guilt, you learn out innocence as well. You try to find arguments both ways. But by Nefashos, once you learn out innocence, you shouldn't go back and try to learn out guilt. Ela b'shas gemar din, yeshul lachzor limanos im ha-mechayven k'moshe b'yarnu. Dine mamos danin b'yom v'gormen b'layla, dine nefashos danin b'yom v'gormen b'yom. By mamonos, they judge in the daytime and they finish at night. By Nefashos, by capital, it's all in the daytime. Dine mamonos gomren bo b'yom bein l'schos bein l'chova. By dine mamonos, they finish in the daytime, whether it's for good or for innocence or guilt. Dine Nefashos gomren bo b'yom l'schus v'yom shlachar av l'chova. You finish on that day, if you know that he's innocent, if you think he's innocent, but if it's for chova, you wait till the next day. So what are all these teaching us? Just a basic summary. It's teaching us that the Torah cares, is more emphatic about rachamim and mercy when it comes to Nefashos. By Mamonos, it's not as important who's innocent, who's guilty, so we take a more strict approach, a rigid approach. But when it comes to Nefashos, when it comes to a person's life at hand, we have to be extra careful and be merciful. And even if we know that, or even if we only try to argue zechus for the guy, we don't want the person to be killed and based in. So there are all these halachos that are mentioned in the Rambam to teach us that we try to avoid Nefashos and we try to give the person who's chayav misa the benefit of the doubt as much as possible. But then if you look later on in Halacha Hey, in the same parak, he says, Amesis ain't dinav kishar dina nefashos. The Mesis, the influencer, the person who's enticing his friend to do Avodah Zarah, is not, the judgment is not like dina nefashos in general. Mecham nin lo asa edem, beinu tzara chasra kishar neragin. Number one, the edem can hide and try to trap the Mesis, and they don't even have to give him hasra, warning. By most capital cases, they need warning. Here, you don't need warning, and you can bring him to Beis Din and be killed. Vim Yatsumi based in Zakai, Vamar Echad Yeshli Lamed Alav Chova Machzirin Oso. If he's innocent, but then somebody says, oh, I know that he's guilty, we go back and we bring the case back, which is the opposite of every other Nefashos case. Yatsachayev, Vamar Echad Yeshli Lamed Alav Zuchus, in Machzirin Oso. If he goes out guilty and he's Chayev Misa and he's going to be killed, but somebody says, I know that he's innocent, we don't listen to the person who says, I know he's innocent. Vain Toan in Lamesis, Umoshivin. Bedino, Zakein, Mesaris, Umisha, and Lobanim, Kadeshul, Yerachamu, Alav. We don't make claims for the Mesis, and we even use people who wouldn't feel mercy for him as judges. Shach Zarios al Elu, Shematin Esa'am Acharea Hevel. So being Achzar, being cruel to a person who's trying to entice the nation to go after vanity, Rachamim Hu Ba'olam, is really mercy for the world. Shenemar, Laman Yashuv Hashem Mecharon Apo V'Nasan Lecha Rachamim. In order that Hashem return from his anger and that he give mercy to the world. So the Rambam gives us a little philosophy and he explains that the difference between the Mesis And the regular case where a person who's Chayav Misa, let's say a person violates Shabbos, so you're Chayav Misa, but we're merciful and we try to figure out a way to get the guy off. But when it comes to Mesis, we do the opposite. And he says something very interesting at the end. He says, Hachzarios, being cruel to a person who's trying to entice the nation to go and to stray from Hashem. So that's actually something that brings Rachamim to the world. And he quotes a pasuk by the Ir Nidachas, which is also in our Parsha, in source number 12. And if you look in source number 12, it says in pasuk Yudches, V'lo yidbak b'yadacha m'uma min acherim, l'man yashuv Hashem mecharon apo, v'natsan l'cha rachamim, v'richamcha v'hirbecha, kasher nishba l'abosecha. That you're not allowed to take any of the things that are burnt up in the Ir Nidachas, or you can't take any of their stuff and benefit, in order that Hashem return from his anger, and he give mercy to the world, and he allow you to procreate as he promised your forefathers. So the question is, how is it that being cruel, first of all, what's the difference? Why is it by Mesis that we treat the Mesis, this influencer, different than anybody else who's Chayav Misa? And also, furthermore, the Rambam is very strange. How is it that this creates Rachamim? How is acting cruel to the Mesis, how is that function to create Rachamim in the world? So those are the questions. So what's the answer? What's the idea? So I want to try an approach here. And I think the approach is that we have to understand what Rachamim is, at least on a more basic level. I think what the Rambam is teaching us, and I think this is what the Gemara is teaching us about the Mesis, which is that Rachamim is not like human mercy. Human mercy is typically premised on a feeling of guilt, a feeling of, let's say you feel guilty for the person, and it's not really, by God's mercy, by Hashem's mercy, it's not really premised on any emotions, because Hashem doesn't have emotions, but it's the mercy of God is really a function or a type of, or an element of justice itself. Meaning, the mercy of God has to fit into the justice system. It can't be something that's antithetical to justice. So it's true, let's take by regular Dina Nefashos case, it's true that we're more makil and we try to get the guy off. But as long as there's some justice, there's some idea of justice in the person getting off, so the rachamim makes sense within that framework. But rachamim outside of justice, if it's just I feel sorry for the person, that's not really the rachamim of God. The rachamim of God has to fit into the justice of God. Our rachamim, human rachamim, is premised on just an emotion. I feel sorry for the person. It has nothing to do with justice. And it could be the person's our enemy, but if we feel sorry, in our minds, that's mercy. That's rachamim. But Hashem's mercy is different. Hashem's mercy is rachamim is part of the justice system. It's really a component of din itself. It's just a more makel. It's a more lenient form of justice. But once, by the Mesis, I believe that the Torah is teaching us and the Rambam is teaching us, by the Mesis, if we were to apply rachamim in the situation of the Mesis, it would be akin to human rachamim. Because really, this person is an enemy of the people, an enemy of God, and there's no aspect of justice that would allow for rachamim. The only rachamim that would emerge would be us feeling sorry for the guy and wanting to get him off because we feel bad. But there's no idea that exists of rachamim within the system of justice, of what this person really deserves. There's no function or there's no framework of rachamim within that justice system for the Mesis. So I think the Chiddush of the Rambam and the Gemara is teaching us about rachamim itself, that rachamim has its limitations, because by human rachamim, it doesn't. It's really just based on our feelings for the person, our guilt, our identification again. But by the rachamim of Hashem, it's not premised on that. The rachamim of Hashem is an element or a component of justice, and therefore it can't be something outside of justice, and it would be unjust in a situation of the Mesis for us to employ rachamim. And it sounds like that's the Chiddush, and the Rambam is teaching us that. What does it mean, L'man Yashuv Hashem Recharon Apo V'Nasan L'cha Rachamim? Why is God giving us Rachamim? Why is that the result? It's because by us acting cruelly to the Mesis, we're really acknowledging what Hashem's Rachamim is all about. We're acknowledging that Hashem's Rachamim isn't just a feeling or a sense of feeling bad, but His Rachamim is premised on justice, on what is right. And it's true that there's some wiggle room within that system of justice, and that's what Rachamim allows for. But there has to be a basic idea of justice, of the premise of this is right. But once we get into the framework of this guy deserves to die, and there's no room for that within justice, so the rachamim itself would no longer be God's rachamim. So that's what it means. When we act cruelly towards this person, towards this individual, this basis, we're really demonstrating what the true idea of rachamim is of Hashem, which is a rachamim that fits into the system of justice and not a rachamim like a human rachamim of feeling bad for a person. So I think that's the chiddush, that's the idea that the Torah is teaching us about the mesis. So I just wanted to end this shiur here. There's two other sources, but you know what? We'll do it in a different shiur. It's more about the idea of the Irani Dachas. So let me just summarize what the shiur was about tonight. The shiur was on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Re'eh, and it really the shiur was focused on how the Torah treats the mesis, the individual who's trying to entice his friend to do avodah zarah. And the Torah is very harsh towards the mesis, and there's various prohibitions brought up in the pasuk, in source number one, which and pasuk tes. And there's a machlokes between Rashi, Sifri, and the Rambam versus the Ramban as to how to learn those Yisurim. Rashi learns out that the Isser is to love the Mesis and to help the Mesis. And according to the Ramban, the Isser is to want to do Avodah Zarah with the Mesis and to be Modeh, to agree with the Mesis verbally. So we asked, what's the difference between the Ramban and Rashi? And we wanted to say that Rashi's premised on the idea that the Mesis' power comes from his personality and his charisma. And therefore, the Torah is teaching us that we shouldn't identify, even though normally it's a mitzvah to identify with our fellow Jews, our Re'acha, the after the Re'acha.